Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
Whoa!
Oh my God!
Where did that come from?
What was that?
That was a complete surprise. What's up, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans? We just got our heads exploded by
Jesus.
The Zack Attack is back. In the sound booth there, just throwing explosions at us and car crashes and everything. I'm Ben Begley. I'm your host today. And with me again is Cameron Lewis over here. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, man.
I'm a little rattled by the explosion in my ear holes.
I was not expecting that. I was expecting just, you know, smooth, sexy jams leading into a moderately entertaining intro by me, then throwing it to you. And instead, my whole evening was just...
It's a little bit like the movie, though.
I was just T-boned. Yeah, I think it's the perfect way to start this because today, in case you haven't heard, we're doing Shoot 'em Up.
Yes.
Oh, man. Legit Shoot 'em Up. A trigger happy full frontal assault. Man, oh, man.
That's probably the best way to describe it.
This movie, slick, stylish, sexy, and very funny. Hey, that's Scott Mance. We know that guy.
Where is
it? Movie Mance. Shout out to Scott Mance.
Oh.
You got a little review on the back. I mean, I'm sure you have several of these, but. Random that it's in my hand right now. Slick, stylish, sexy, and very funny.
I'm so happy that we did this one after
Courtesy
Desperado
of movie
last
yeah.
week.
Yeah. Well, because this one... Because Desperado, even though I would argue Desperado is a way better movie, just as a film, but this movie would make Desperado look tame in absurdity.
Yes.
Because this
100%.
Movie... And I forget... I'm sorry, forgetting whoever requested this on YouTube, but I got your comment, and I was very stoked about it.
Yeah.
And we chose it because of that. I'm blanking on the username, so I'm an asshole with shout-outs right now. But this movie, I remember seeing this the first year my now wife, but at the time girlfriend, Renee and I were dating, and we went to the movies, and I was just like, oh, it's like
a... This was a date movie?
This was a date movie.
Holy shit.
The greatest thing and why I married this woman is she loved this movie.
Oh, man.
This movie does not seem like it's made for any woman on the planet, and we'll get into the crazy amounts of misogyny in this movie. But she loves Clive Owen, and she loves Paul Giamatti, and this movie is batshit crazy. I remember seeing it in theaters and just being like, what the fuck? What is going on?
Yeah.
When the opening sequence... He's sitting there eating a carrot, and then there's a pregnant woman that he... We'll get into that, but holy shit. And then ending with a skydiving gunfight. I couldn't believe that what I was seeing
it
the
was
entire
a not,
time.
By the way, I think this was the perfect length
for
this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because had it gone on too far, it's like, okay, I get it. It's the same gimmick over and over again. It's like an hour 20 or something.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's 86 minutes, but that's being very liberal. I mean, there's like 10 minutes of credits at the end. So it's an hour and 15 probably.
It's perfect.
It's so good. It just... This is... You know how they say, oh, it's a nonstop action movie? That only really applies to about a dozen movies I can think of off the top of my head. Maybe.
Yeah.
There's more. But off the top of my head, there's, like, Shoot 'em Up. There's The Raid Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Max. But even Mad Max takes a little bit of a breath. Not really. But this one takes, like...
A little more of a breath than
more
this
More of a breath
one.
Than
yeah.
this. This one's, like... Hey, we're gonna have this weird bonding thing where I teach a kid how to shoot a gun that's like, you know, just a newborn.
Yeah.
And then that's gonna turn Monica Bellucci on, aka the Milk Mama.
After Jeff having a like fight.
And then they're gonna
doesn't matter.
Then they're gonna bone, and then he's gonna shoot people while having sex, which we will get to
because really turns her on.
One of the funniest scenes in the movie is
so
the
good.
Sexing while shooting up some dudes, and she either is just so into it. That she doesn't notice the guys, or she's so into it, she doesn't give a fuck that there's a bunch of dudes with guns in the room.
I don't think she cares.
She doesn't.
She doesn't
she's
care.
She's just down.
It's perfect.
It's so awesome.
By the way,
so
you mentioned the action thing, though, and I just have a really, really quick trivia bit.
Please,
Michael
I love
Davis,
trivia.
Mm-hmm. Director, said that there would be no explosions in the movie.
Yeah, I read that.
No explosions, only guns. I didn't even think about it until I read that, but there are no
There's
explosions.
None. There's, like, car crashes and things, but there's never, like, an explosion and the good guy walking away with, like... You ever notice when that happens in movies, most of the time the air is going the wrong way? Like, in The Rundown, there's a scene where the rocket... There's an explosion happening behind him, and the wind is clearly from a fan in front...
blowing the smoke back.
It's awesome.
You're right.
It happens in almost every action movie where there's an explosion behind. Their hair's blowing this way. Because I get it. It wouldn't look as cool like, say, Antonio Banderas and Selma Hayek when they're walking off in Desperado. Wouldn't look as cool if his hair was blowing in his face and he's like, ah, fuck, shit. We're looking cool, flying, getting away from the explosion. So I get it aesthetically. But that's just not how physics works.
That's the magic of movies, though. You're just like, oh, screw it. That's exactly what happens when powerful people walk through the smoke. Yeah.
And speaking of physics not working, physics be damned with this movie. Who needs physics? Now, I'm giving Cameron apparently a crash course in ridiculousness, because you hadn't seen this either until yesterday.
What? No, because here's the thing. I feel like at some point along the way, I became, I guess, biased. I don't know if that's the right word. I had this negative vibe against action movies.
So you became like a, were you like a film snob or like,
no, not a film snob, but I'm like, you know, I think a lot of it had, I felt like I had to be in the mood or have the energy to watch one.
Well, and a lot of them for a while sucked.
Yeah.
There's like a gap where there's a period where they were just awful, like Ballistic X versus Severs with Antonio Banderas and Lucy Liu. And there's a whole string of them around the time The Matrix came out and then onward. The Matrix is amazing, by the way. I'm not saying that. But it was like all these Matrix clones and people trying to be as cool as that and just not doing it. So I can see where you could get soured by it.
I also think I know a lot of film snobs. So I think when I went to the action movies with the film snobs, we walked out and like, that sucked. And even if I'm like, it was amazing, that made me be subconscious about it.
I went to Pacific Rim with a buddy of mine and two buddies of mine. And me and my one buddy loved it. And the other one was like, well, the characters weren't that well developed. And I was like, who gives a it was giant robots fighting giant monsters.
Clive Owen shoots an umbilical cord off. I don't give a shit.
So what was your impression? I mean, this movie is batshit crazy. So what was your what did you think going into it versus what actually happened?
Going into it, I had...
Had you watched the trailer or anything?
No, I watched nothing, which I kind of like doing. I kind of prefer doing that. But what's the movie Clive Owen was in a year earlier in this? Children of Men. So I assumed that it would be something like that. I don't know why. I have no idea why.
Oh, boy. Were you in for a treat then?
Holy shit. I thought there was going to be some legitimacy to it in terms of, like, reality in life. Not that Children of Men is that way necessarily, but... I shit my pants in the first scene.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is how it's going to be?
It sets it up. It tells you exactly how it's going to go, the first scene.
Yes.
Like you said, shooting the umbilical cord. You're like, oh, that's all what's going to... And the blood from it spraying all over the mother of this child's face.
And the carrots.
And the carrots,
The carrots. I mean, I think I really enjoy watching these kind of movies by myself now because I'm laughing out loud.
Oh yeah, you gotta
not
watch
worrying
it.
About it.
You gotta watch it with somebody who's equally as jazzed or just by yourself. Because anybody who's like, suddenly your opinion will go, yeah, you're right. That's you can't shoot through a car
just
roof.
Go watch Birdman.
Yeah,
Birdman was. I like Birdman, but.
But come on, Shoot 'Em Up's more fun. Shoot 'Em Up's way more fun.
I'm just saying.
If I had to watch another movie again, Shoot 'Em Up or Birdman, I would easily choose Shoot 'Em Up.
That's exactly my point.
Because it wouldn't be such a downer, you know? Anyways, so what was your, like, just off the top of your head, then we'll get into the plot.
Yeah.
What were, like, pick maybe two or three of the craziest moments for you?
The craziest by far is when Clive Owen shoots through his own windshield.
Yeah.
Shoots the windshield of the car in front of his broken windshield.
So good.
Crashes into the car.
Head on.
Somehow just perfectly slips into the back of the van.
Does a barrel roll.
Turns and shoots. I loved that.
That moment's amazing. Did you notice most times when he crashed through things, he would land on something soft, which I assume was intentional to be absurd. In the first action sequence, when he slams through the window, he lands on like a bunch of blankets that happen to be in this industrial warehouse. And then another time later, I forget, oh shit, it's when he jumps in, there's literally mattresses that he jumps on. I forget, I have it written down somewhere.
I do too.
But
there's
actual mattresses that he jumps on, and it's incredible.
Even when he's falling down the stairs, he lands on a body, which arguably is kind of soft. So it's going to be fine. The second thing I think I really liked was at the end, whenever him and Paul Giamatti are in that, I guess the room with the fireplace, and he has the bullets in between his broken fingers.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
I love...
It's so good.
My favorite scene in the movie, and I don't want to... we'll get into the plot, but I want to talk about my favorite scene and get into detail about it later, but is when he hooks all the guns up to the... When he Home Alones it, when he Kevin McAllister's all the guns, and he has them all hooked up in these perfect ways, and then he has the security cameras, and he pulls on these triggers like some weird puppeteer and just blasts dudes left and right. That hands down was my favorite scene in the
movie. It's amazing. Where did he get that amount of twine?
Exactly. I know it's a gun factory, but they don't have that much twine lying around as far as I know.
There's a kite somewhere close by.
The other thing I just really dig about this movie is that I think it's so funny that it pretends to be this anti-gun movie. There's countless references to, like, fuck the Second Amendment, and he even says something like, wait, do we have the Second Amendment clip? I just want to play it now that I'm talking about it. It says Second Amendment, I believe. We got it? Maybe? Oh, okay.
In exchange for his life, the senator promised to protect our rights.
To go deer hunting with an Uzi.
Oh, come on, Smith, come on. Guns don't kill people, but they sure help.
Guns don't kill people, but they sure help. Oh, my God.
I love it when Paul Giamatti gets to that lower octave with his voice in any movie.
When his voice just sounds...
If
you watch Billions right now, he does it all the time.
Does he?
That's one of the best shows on TV, by the way. He's always kind of down here. Man, that whole speech right there, like, come on. Guns don't kill people.
Guns don't kill people, but they sure help.
This is weird the accent he's doing. He's like,
you know, I my brother-in-law's a hunter.
Yeah.
And I was shooting guns with him out and just doing clay shooting, clay pigeons? Right?
Yeah. Clay pigeons.
Skeet shooting, yeah. And every time I think of skeet, I think of that awful
skeet.
So it ruined skeet shooting for me.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I'm shooting guns.
I sing it every time I go, actually. So yeah.
I'm shooting guns, and everybody's surprised that I'm such a good shot because they think I'm just like this liberal California, you know, whatever kind of guy, hippy dippy, whatever you want to say, vegan. And I'm just blasting away at him and stuff like that. And I try and tell him it's because of all the video games I played. And I'm like, you know, I don't mind guns. I just am afraid of them because they are built to kill something, you know?
Yeah.
And they can kill people. And he just looks at me and he says,
guns don't kill people, but they sure help.
That was a very long build-up to a not very good joke.
I don't think I have a build-up. That was it.
Anyways.
I was trying to think of a workout one.
The funny thing about this movie is, like I was saying, is that it pretends to be an anti-gun movie, says all kinds of stuff about the Second Amendment, says all kinds of stuff about, like, gun manufacturers being in the hip pocket of senators who were going to pass this bill to restrict gun laws, and then they get into bed with each other in the end to help save his life. All this really convoluted, crazy shit.
Yeah.
When this movie couldn't be more pro-gun, because they're just shooting and making guns look as cool as anything, as cool as Antonio Banderas and Clive Owen.
Yes, 100%, and it makes you watch it and go, well, everybody has a gun, so I should probably get a gun.
If somebody busts in while you're having sex, you can just shoot everybody and keep going.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect.
That's kind of the life.
That's a perfect.
By the way, real quick note on the guns. Did you notice in this movie, every single time somebody gets shot, they just yell so fucking loud?
Yeah. There's a lot of awesome stunt guy yelling. Like,
so much. Yes.
Like, just like really over the top shit. It's so good.
I love it.
Oh,
man. That was this movie's, you know, making them shoot back 1,000 feet. They just yelled.
Yeah. And then, like, shooting off body parts. Oh, we're going to get into all that. Here we go. 3 minutes on the clock. We're going to do the plot in under 3 minutes. Cam, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
And then we'll go back and forth, and my head will explode by the end.
All right.
How are we doing in this, Zach? Are we going to... I can't see what's up there.
Ready to go.
All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2... One, take it away.
All right, so we start with Clive Owen. Carrot Love Clive Owen plays Smith sitting on a bench. He sees a mama running by with her baby. People are running after her. You're dead, bitch. All that shit's happening. He goes after her. He doesn't know what's going on. She gets shot. He has to deliver the baby right there.
Well, before she's shot, off.
Just in case. Shoots off the umbilical cord. Mom is dead. Pussy whip Paul Giamatti shows up, and he's like, what the shit? Who is this Smith guy, Ben?
With like 700 other dudes. It's amazing. After he kills the one guy and saves the baby, and then he goes to leave, and just a shit ton of guys come in like, hey, like doing some kind of like Walla Walla track, like a bunch of cartoon characters. And there's this massive shootout. He shoots an oil container, slides across, blasts a bunch of dudes. He just blasts his way out. He's going to leave the baby. And then he says, no, I can't do that. Because, I mean, that'd be a really shitty choice for your hero if he leaves the baby. Takes the baby, jumps out a window. And in classic action movie fashion, he jumps out a window and gets to the next building. And Paul Giamatti's like, well, you did it again. Oh, but before that, they're shooting out a sign that says something. And then eventually it gets to be, fuck you. And then Paul Giamatti, as Clive Owen escapes, shoots another letter, and then we reveal that it says, fuck you, too.
That's right.
Oh, it's so good.
So Clive tries to hide the baby. He's hiding in a bathroom stall, sets him on the floor, eating carrots again. Which,
disgusting,
by the way, floor is not a great place for a baby.
I mean, I know you need to build up baby's immunities, but come on.
That's right. So he has to figure things out, because they find him in the bathroom. He has to get out of that situation. He does, and he ends up taking the baby in a paper bag, a shopping bag, to what I refer to as Milky Mamas. This prostitution
Milky Mamas,
ring,
yeah.
A lactating prostitution ring, and says, hey, you need to take care of this baby. She says, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I won't do it. But the bad guys, they come back.
They come back.
They're screaming. They're shooting. Clive says, okay, I'm still here. Where'd you go? I thought you were still here, Smith.
Yeah.
So he saves the day, Ben.
And then he shoots Paul Giamatti. You think he's dead, but I don't know why he doesn't shoot him more times than just once in the chest where he clearly has a vest on. Paul Giamatti gets up. He's like, I'm going to figure out how to find him. And through a series of very convenient discoveries, he keeps finding Clive Owen over and over again.
All the time.
God, where do they end up next? I don't even remember. They end up
the lady has to blow the dude for making him money.
Then they get more guns.
That's right.
Then there's a whole other shootout that happens. And it's just basically shootout after shootout. Eventually, he hides her in a tank. And 40 seconds. Okay.
Yes.
He hides her in a tank with the baby. And then you think the baby gets killed, but it's an animatronic baby. Somehow he had time to build a robot baby.
I don't know where.
Then he jumps through, kills the guys in the van like we talked about earlier, kicks out. You think he's dead. Oh, and then he goes to Hammerson. Gun factory, shoots a bunch of guys Kevin McAllister style there. You think it's done? Nope, not yet. He goes to find the senator up in the plane, and he's like, fuck you, senator, you're in bed with the gun owners
now.
Because
he's sick,
he needs the shit to fix himself. Then there's shootout, he kills the senator, jumps out, there's a shootout in the sky and everything, then there's a shootout again, Paul Giamatti's breaking all his arms, saying, where's this kid? Then he shoots hand bullets, and then he has the kid and everything's happy.
And by the way, there's a carrot at the end.
This is so hard because
it's just guns after guns after guns.
This is one of the hardest plots I've ever had to try and, because there isn't really a plot. It's more like action scene, action scene, action scene. And my brain, I couldn't remember where the whole second act.
I think you did it though.
We
forgot about the maternity factory.
Yeah.
The babies with the sperm everywhere.
Yeah, that was gross. Yeah. That was a gross sequence.
For the donation.
Holy shit. Where do we even begin with this? I mean, in the first scene alone, there's shoots an oil barrel and slides across the floor, falls on the nice soft pile of blankets, like I said.
Amazing.
Shoots a dude's ponytail off.
Which, there was some line about ponytail.
Oh, yeah, he said something like, that was one sound clip I didn't get.
Ponytail doesn't make you look hip.
And then
just fucking shoots.
What's great is he shoots it, and it looks like he just shoots the hair off, but a ton of blood just splatters everywhere. It's incredible.
And of course, even if it was the hair, the guy's still like, yeah!
Exactly. It's every single time there's super loud yells. I was thinking that even though the baby looked very fake in certain scenes, it still looked more realistic than the baby in American Sniper. So...
Very
so
true.
At least there's that.
They at least had a decent effort. The baby was actually cast before it was born, too.
Yeah, it's weird. I read that. How does that happen?
What if it was a weird looking baby?
All babies usually look like just like basically Benjamin Button versions of the cast of The Sopranos.
Yes, that's very accurate.
They do. Just like wrinkled old men. Here's the thing that I kept waiting for like an explanation the whole movie as to why he happened to be on this bench when this.
Yeah.
I thought. Even when I was watching it a second time, I was like, oh, he was there because he knew this was going to... And I'm like, no, this whole thing happens by chance.
He 100%
happens to be sitting just chilling on a bench, maybe waiting for a bus. I don't remember a bus sign, though.
I don't think
eating
so.
Eating a giant carrot, and then pregnant woman runs by, and he's like, oh, that's weird. Then dude comes by and can't drive, apparently, and slams into another car, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Gets out, chases her, and he's like, oh, bloody hell. And you're
shit.
Like, that sounded more like Jason Statham. Or
you know
Paul
what,
Giamatti.
Though? I like him. He's a bloody hell.
Oh, bloody hell.
I like to think that right before he sat on the bench, a similar series of events just happened.
Like he just got done.
Taking a break.
He's like, oh, shit.
Fuck.
Oh, man. All those fucking guys
again.
I just killed. Damn it. And I love the fact that he goes in there, and I had forgotten this movie because I hadn't seen it since it came out in theaters.
Yeah.
And when he goes in there... And then the mom dies, and then, like I said, those, like, 12 dudes just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And they come in just like, in a big, like, clump of people, like, ah, we're just very unorganized criminals! Nowhere ever in a movie history has such bad aim. This is so perfect along the lines of something like Commando or any of those kind of movies, because The bad guys cannot hit anything.
But Clive Owen can hit everything.
Until he has to shoot Paul Giamatti, and then he can't hit him. Because there's one point. Oh, I forgot this. One of the best gunfights when they're all coming up into
on the rope.
On the rope, and he slides down the rope and just is spinning and shooting as they're all on the stairwell. He shoots every single guy, and then Paul Giamatti, and he's like, "Fuck you! Oh, God damn it, I can't."
You know what it is? The glare off his glasses.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
it just blinds him a little bit.
Just can't do it.
I also think it's that he's more emotionally invested in killing Paul Giamatti, so his anger gets in the way.
He just starts getting shaky.
Like Paul Giamatti says later on, he's like, "Are you angry, sir?" And he's like, "No, I don't get angry because it releases tryptopapaflopamine,
a
hormone that makes you think unclearly." So that's what it is.
Which is absolutely scientifically accurate.
Everything about this movie is scientifically accurate.
Physics are all there. I enjoyed the... As soon as the fuck you too sign happened, I knew that...
Oh, yeah.
The whole movie was going to be this way. The first scene, obviously, I was like, okay, this is pretty crazy, but after the sign...
Oh, yeah. You know you're in for a treat. There are some interesting things that happen, like the need to have the pregnant dead woman's boob hanging out.
And Paul Giamatti.
Wait, we have nice knockers.
Just like really, yeah.
Can you play that?
Nice knockers.
So she's dead on the stairs, and all the bad guys are running by, and her boobs hanging out. And Paul Giamatti runs by and says,
"Nice knockers."
Yeah.
You know,
he was sitting in the limousine later on.
Yeah.
He just
cops a few. That's the creepiest scene of the whole movie. That scene for me was too much. Where
it was.
He's sitting next to a dead ex-pregnant woman, recently unpregnanted. Unpregnated? Sure. All those are words.
Yes.
All those are words. And he looks over and he just can't help himself. And he's like,
the door is open,
in just the most lecherous way. And then he's like, I'm just like, oh, God.
He's like,
I feel so bad for the woman that played pregnant girl number one.
After she died, wasn't that a fake body the entire time?
I don't think so. It didn't look fake.
Because if we watch back.
I hope she got her SAG card at least for that.
Well, something was, I don't want to say it.
So, but it is interesting. I had an Amazon delivery the other day, a package came to my door, and we just recently got a really kind of like ornate knocking device where you can like a little thing. And I guess, you know, Amazon delivery guys, they see any kind of knocker all day long, and they're just, nothing fazes them. But for some reason, I heard a little on my door. And when I opened it up, he looked at me and he looked at the knocker there and he was like,
"Nice knockers."
And I was like, "Thanks, man. Yeah. We actually ordered it from Amazon." And he was like, "Nice knockers."
That's the one I was going to use, Ben. Damn it.
Oh, well.
Well, but I was in my studio apartment and somebody did the same thing.
Nice knockers.
See? My God. So the fake boob scene was very disturbing.
Scene, super weird.
I just was not okay with that.
I love. We talked about the bathroom scene in the plot synopsis that we did, we did very succinctly and very well. The best thing about that is that he hides up on the toilet to get away. Or no.
Yeah, no, yeah. He gets the
and
baby
then drops
on the toilet.
The
gun goes in the toilet.
And so his idea is to lay the baby on a filthy bathroom floor. It's not even like a cleaned bathroom. This is like Hep C immediately.
Yes.
For a newborn who has not developed any immunities at all. You know, I have nieces and nephews. You got to keep that shit incubated for a while.
Yeah,
I couldn't
even
go meet
take
my niece.
Them to like a Burlington Coat Factory until they're at least a year old.
Absolutely not. Burlington Coat Factories, they are a petri dish.
Jesus.
But so I love that he leaves the baby, goes to, he cleans his whole gun.
On the baby changing table.
Yep. He couldn't have just set the baby there next to it and clean the gun. Nope. Then
that's
the guy comes
baby.
In, still, nope, not firing. The firing thing, I don't know, guns, but the firing thing, it's not the trigger, but it's the thing that ignites it.
Oh,
There's a firing pin. The firing pin it must still be wet, and that's why the spark wasn't going. I don't know. I don't know guns, but
it's
I'm assuming
scientific.
That. So then he's fighting this guy, and he turns on the hairdryer, and apparently, I've never put my hand close enough to a hairdryer for long enough, but would it burn your hand and make you drop a gun like he does?
If it's a Dyson one, yes.
Okay, because they had a lot of recalls for burning people.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Then he dries his own gun and fires it off by his ear because he knows this guy with the Bluetooth is different. He's not one of Paul Giamatti's guys. But at first, you don't get that.
Are you calculating all that? If I mean, you just killed 164 people?
Yeah.
Are you actually calculating
that? I think there's 151 people that die in this. What did they
say? Let me check that again.
There was a body count.
I think it was 151.
Yeah, we're going to say it was 151.
I'm going to go with that.
I'm going to go with that. I like 151.
Yeah.
It's just so... And then his bad parenting skills when he gets on the bus and he puts he takes his filthy sock off. Again! Super,
wasn't that sweet?
Super gross sock that's been on this dude that's borderline homeless and puts it on a baby.
But the lady who was on the bus was like, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Instead of like, he has athlete's foot.
Instead of like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Gee, here, you can have my baby's hat. I have more hats at home, sir.
I'm going to call child services. They're going to come and get this baby from you.
Yeah. And then this leads to the park. We forgot the park sequence in the...
No, you said it. You said it.
Did I say they go to the park?
You didn't say
I didn't say they go to the park.
You said he left the baby, which is true. You did it at the park.
Mr. Smith is what he's called in the movie. He leaves the baby on what are those things? What are those spinning things at the park?
The world. It's a merry-go-round.
It's like a shitty merry-go-round, basically. Yeah. He leaves the baby there, and he's like, somebody will take care of you, don't worry. And you're like, what?
No.
No. That's
wrong. Some kid is going to be really excited about spinning and jump on it.
Yeah, or some, like, weirdo is going to be like, oh, cool, baby. Free baby.
Baby.
I could sell this. You know, it's, like, awful.
Why didn't he go to the hospital and just drop it off? You can do that, no questions asked.
Public park, yeah, I mean, hospital, fire station, public park on a shitty Ferris or whatever, what is it? Carousel.
Carousel. I think it's a carousel. Yeah.
So then Paul Giamatti shows up, and before that, there's the worst extra ever that sees the baby.
Oh my God, yes.
And
oh my God, look at this. Someone left a baby.
Oh, wait. Holy shit.
By the way, I was at Chipotle the other day, and I had to go through the line. And you know how when you go to Chipotle, you get really excited about your food?
Yeah.
And I was going through the line to get the bowl. I was like, white rice, black beans, the veggies, the chicken.
Even with
all
the E. coli thing, you were like,
E. coli.
I'm
no,
down.
I'm totally okay with E. coli. I'm getting really excited to eat my food, and there I see it, a child over in the corner. But you can't just let that go. So I have to be half invested in it. And I want people to think I care, but really I want my food. So I was like,
someone left a baby.
And then went and just ate it.
Yeah. I thought you were going to leave your burrito behind, and your burrito was going to be your baby.
That would work, too.
That works. I like that. Can we play the full quote again? Because it's the worst acting I've ever heard in 80. And she's clearly...
That had to be somebody's, like, sister or something, right?
But she's clearly not... I don't think she's actually saying it. I assume they had her mouth it.
Oh, ADR'd
it. And they ADR'd it so they didn't have to pay her on the day.
Yeah.
Because if you're an extra in a movie and you say a line, suddenly they have to pay you a lot more. So I think they're just like, just mouth this and it's too loud out here. We can't get the audio. And then this happens.
Oh my God, look at this. Left a baby.
You know what? I think that is. I think it's the temp track that just happened to get passed into the final cut.
It reminds me of the time my mom and dad were out visiting, and this isn't an improv riff. This is a true story where my mom and dad were out visiting, and my mom had to read an audition with me. And we were going over the audition together, and just the way she intoned everything was just like, oh, okay, well, you should eat that, or whatever the lines were. It was just so bad. And I was like, oh, yeah. Some people just cannot say sentences.
What's funny about that, I've been through the same situation with my mom reading sides for an audition. And then she'll do that. She did that. And then after we ended the scene, she's like, I have some notes. And I'm like, what, do you just read it like that?
Yeah, I have some notes for you too, Mom.
Like, what the hell?
Take an acting class.
No shit.
Man, so we blew through a decent note. So then anyway, so Paul Giamatti starts trying to shoot the baby, and Clive Owen shoots the
gruesome park scene, by the way.
Shoots the carousel. I keep fucking saying merry-go-round.
Which, by the way,
shoots it around and around and around again.
On Mythbusters, they tested if you could do that.
Can't happen.
You can't do it with that small of a handgun. You can do it with a powerful rifle, but it takes more than two shots.
Yeah. Hey, Mythbusters, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Here's the thing. So then they go to the Milk Mama's house, and it's the weirdest prostitution ring I've ever seen in my life, where there's, like, a dude hiding behind, like, what looks like a Nickelodeon, like, stretchy thing, and it's just his eyes and his mouth, and she's like, bark for me. And it's like, what is happening in this place?
Yeah, it's
weirdest fetishes ever. Again, strange thing, on Billions right now, Paul Giamatti's character is really into fetish stuff. Maybe he just has this...
I think this is like he was typecasted.
I don't know, man. He's...
Need a little cream for my coffee.
Oh, God.
God! Cream.
Now look, we have a 14-minute countdown. Oh, man.
Jesus.
There's just so much to talk about in this movie. It's impossible. It's impossible.
That, then, by the way, when they walk into that room and see Milky Mama,
creepiest
the guy,
extra.
The guy, yes, who is, has, like, stuff on his face, which I didn't know was breast milk. I was like, what just happened?
He's sitting there like this, and Kaivo untaps him, and he looks up like, huh?
He was wearing a diaper?
And he's wearing a diaper, and he has just a ton of milk. Like, he was just like... He's just, like, chugging it. Just, oh, it's so weird.
So gross.
So then we already talked about how Paul Giamatti comes, and Clive Owen comes back and saves her from there. And then they go to Clive Owen's fancy apartment, which is opened by a rat.
That was probably the... How does somebody think of this?
Who? How? How
do you think... To put into anything.
How do you think of basically Mousetrap the board game... being the yes. way to open the door to your apartment.
Yes.
That right there is some crazy shit.
It's brilliant.
I don't understand it. It was so weird. That I appreciate it, but I was like, who the fuck? How?
Imagine coming home drunk, though. Just grabbing
the... Where's the brick at? Come on, Mickey.
And how do you know the rat is always going to listen?
And does the rat just hang out in that little compartment he had him in? And that's an awful life for that rat.
That fucking sucks.
Or maybe the rat, like, runs around the house and is trained to whenever he hears him come by.
After he went in, didn't he grab the rat and put it in his pocket?
I think so.
So he just always, whenever he leaves, I guess, he puts him back up there.
Maybe. And then he also has a never, his pockets are huge, though, because he has a never-ending supply of carrots in them. Just, and those are giant carrots.
He's a grower, too.
He's like this weird, this weird pseudo-homeless rat locksmith. Botanist, you know, he has just like, and I love that he just pulls a giant carrot out of the dirt and goes, careful, carrot. It's good for the eyes. And it's just, I know every time I quote Clive Owen, I sound like Jason Statham, but it's okay.
It's good for the eyes. It looked like he was growing weed, though.
It did.
It was so perfect.
And then, nope, just a bunch of carrots.
Of course it's carrots. I like later on.
He only survives
yet,
on carrots. That's
but,
it.
Yeah, apparently. But later on, he tells the woman to feed the baby carrot food, the carrot baby food. Because
I hear the pureed carrots are the best. What was
this? Hell,
maybe this movie was sponsored by carrots.
I think
you know because carrots don't get. I've never seen a carrot commercial.
Yeah,
I've never seen a carrot radio spot. This movie may be the leading advertisement for carrots.
Good for your eyesight. Bad for your enemies.
Good for your eyesight. Bad. I like that.
There it is.
Carrot
Association.
How many people does he? He dispatches the first guy he kills is with a carrot to the mouth, and then he shoves it through, and somehow what we didn't get into is that he is breeding super carrots.
Yeah.
They are the
sharpest, strongest,
they can pierce through a spine.
I'm not going to kill anybody, Ben, but I saw that, and I was like, I kind of want to know if it actually could happen.
You know, maybe we could get like a Mythbusters where they build like a makeshift fake skull so we don't have to really kill somebody with a carrot.
Email them.
Just email them. I follow them on Twitter. They like things sometimes. I don't know if they'll respond, though.
Yeah.
I don't actually follow them on Twitter.
I do.
Oh, yeah?
No.
So then there's a series of ridiculous events. There's the paternity lab on top of the heavy metal club.
Yeah, which, by the way, that's why the baby is quiet around metal. So naturally, that's where it's going to be.
The way they connect the dots in this movie is amazing, where it's like, hey, look at this. Whenever the music's on, the baby's quiet. Oh, there's only a heavy metal club right down the street from where I found this baby and his dead pregnant mother.
I do like that, though, because it's like every one of these things, instead of going, oh, it must be at one of the 45 clubs in the city, it's like, oh, it's at the heavy metal club.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay.
That's what actually is great about several things that are great about this movie, but that it streamlines everything, where it's just like,
that's true.
We don't need to. Most action movies would be like, oh, we gotta investigate like six different heavy metal clubs before and show a little montage. Nope. This one's just like, yeah, I know exactly the right one. And same thing with Paul Giamatti. He's always like, no, I know exactly where they are. Now they're in this apartment. They get in a fight, and then they have the greatest sex scene probably in action movie history.
It's also, you know, at first you're like, what position is that? Is this his regular missionary? That's not very exciting for a movie.
No.
And then the shit goes down.
And then, dude, it's interesting. We have two. Last week we had Desperado with the post-coitus shootout. This is during coitus.
During.
Shootout. So how do we top that?
Next week we got to have a pre-coitus shootout. The shootout
goes
so well.
The trilogy of coitus shootouts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trilogy of Coitus is a great band name.
We are the Trilogy of Coitus.
Oh my God. You can catch us Friday at the Heavy Metal Club. I like that. We're going to do that.
Hashtag Trilogy of Coitus.
Hashtag Trilogy.
This sex scene is so crazy because he keeps fucking her while he's just rolling around and shooting. I've tried to like stand up and move it. If you're doing that much, it'll break your dick.
You know what? It was a carrot. It was a carrot strap-on.
Or he's eaten so many carrots that it's made it just as strong as those carrots that he breeds. Good for the eyesight and the erection. Oh, my God. It's incredible. She's just digging it the whole time.
She didn't open her eyes, but she had to know what was going on, right?
I guess.
She just didn't care.
And then the end line, he says, talk about shooting your load. It's like, oh, man.
Yes.
That couldn't have been more on the nose. I want to get to some sound clips, but I do want to talk about, we already talked pretty much in length, because I went into it, about at the Hammersmith or Hammerson, whatever it was, the gun, where he hooks up all the guns to like the Kevin McAllister style shootout.
Yes.
Is amazing. If you haven't seen this movie, you should see it just for that scene alone and every other scene in it, because it's an incredible action film.
It's so good.
Then the skydiving out of the plane sequence is just bananas.
It's
a little too ridiculous, maybe?
You know, of all of the scenes, I was like, this one...
It's my least favorite.
Is my least favorite.
Because it's the only one that looks really fake.
Really green screen. And that was the only reason why. I love a good skydiving shootout scene.
Who doesn't?
I mean, you know...
But this one looked like... And then it won me over, though, when the dude gets thrown into the helicopter blade.
That is true.
The hand flies up and covers the camera.
What won me over is the aftermath when he's on the ground
and just
walking.
Body parts.
Imagine being down there. You're just like having a picnic and just one by one.
Just raining bodies.
Just, poof, poof, poof.
That would ruin my picnic.
Yeah. And then there's a baby over on the carousel.
That's why I don't have picnics, because I'm just afraid of raining body parts. You know?
I don't blame you.
That's what happens. And then we'll skip ahead to our favorite part, which is probably the greatest way to kill a bad guy ever. Paul Giamatti breaks all of his fingers to try and find out where this girl is with the baby, because they're the only ones who can, they're going to cover up. But the whole premise is that Paul Giamatti works for this gun company, and the senator was trying to get a bill passed that would restrict gun laws and screw over this company, and the senator's dying. So the senator was trying out different bone marrow treatments. It doesn't fucking matter. Who cares?
Yeah.
But anyways, the senator and the gun company eventually end up in bed together.
Yeah.
And then Paul Giamatti's breaking Clive Owen's fingers because he has to wipe out everybody to cover it up, which means the baby, Monica Bellucci, and Clive Owen. And then Clive Owen runs. He can't shoot his gun because all his fingers are just fucked up.
They're so bad.
His fingers look like Sloth from Goonies. That's what it looks like. And then he's like, wait, we have the line. I'm dead right. What is it? I'm dead?
I am dead on about who you are, right?
Say that again.
I said I am dead.
Stop. That part of it, you go right.
And he's holding four bullets in between his fingers in front of a fire.
I thought he was going to grab a log, which I thought, his hand's already fucked up. That makes sense. And throw it at him. This is so much better.
First off, his hand is probably in shock from all the breaking anyway, so he doesn't even feel the burn.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure bullets don't work by igniting the back of them. Heating them up.
I hope not.
I mean, because otherwise, if a truck is driving with a cartload of bullets and it's like super hot and they're going through like, you know, the southern part of the United States and it's just like 115 degrees, what's to stop that just from being a shootout inside the truck and killing any innocent?
If you park at a Walmart in Palm Springs on a hot day and you have your .22 in the back, is it just going to go off?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
I don't know, though. Let's research this. Audience, if you know if bullets can go off by holding it, please let us know.
I really want to know.
I want to go through some sound clips. We only have a few minutes left because Cam has to go do another show.
Let's do it.
So let's just roll through some of these, and we'll explain what they are because they're ridiculous. Just roll through them.
I'm hoping you're not just a pussy with a gun in your hand.
Oh, no, sir, no. No, I'm not. I'm a tough guy with a pussy in my hand.
In the sixth grade, this is a true story, I went paintballing for the first time. Mm-hmm. I was trying to impress this girl. I was in you ever been to these ones that are in the woods? They have the big clubhouse. I'm going through. I'm getting shot up. Not doing very well. And my team, they were pissed. And the captain came up to me and he said, listen, Cameron.
I'm hoping you're not just a pussy with a gun in your hand.
And then you looked at him and he said,
no, sir, no. No, I'm not. I'm a tough guy with a pussy in my hand.
And how did that second date go with this girl?
She's
probably
never
disgusted by the fact that you used the word pussy.
She's like, you're a misogynist.
You are a misogynistic asshole.
Jesus.
British nanny, that's a good one, too.
Who are you, really, Smith?
I'm a British nanny, and I'm dangerous.
You know, my sister-in-law was actually looking for nannies.
Yeah,
I have two nieces, and she was looking for nannies, and she'd been, you know, she'd had a couple, like, bad Craigslist experience. Well, you're looking for a nanny on Craigslist, I don't know, but, you know, she got, there was this British guy that came along, and he seemed pretty nice, and just kind of very dry and even keel, and she was like, well, you got to do something else other than nanny, right? And he goes, no,
I'm a British nanny, and I'm dangerous.
So she hired him because she thought dangerous meant, like, protect her kids. And you know what?
How'd it work out?
It worked out. Turns out he's a hitman nanny, but he's the good kind.
Does he know Mrs. Doubtfire?
I was going to try and tie Mrs. Doubtfire in there. Let's see what else we got. We got the circle jerk of
life. Jerk of life.
You know, that just says it all right there. The circle jerk of life. I don't even know how you riff on that one because that's just how I feel almost every day when I'm like, yep.
That's how I feel when
the
I'm...
circle jerk of life.
I say that every time I'm in a Rite Aid, because the line is always exactly that.
Yeah. Every time I... not to get political, but anytime I see Trump has tweeted something else and people are saying, he's just saying what everybody else is thinking, I'm just like, fuck you.
The circle jerk of life.
It is what it is.
Oh, I'm going to get some anger... Anytime you bring up anything political on here, people lose their minds. To quote straight out of Compton.
Donald Trump doesn't have a penis, Ben.
What else we got here? We got to do a few more.
My God, do we really suck? Or is this guy really that good?
That's my favorite because it just justifies why none of them can shoot anything. They can't shoot anything, and Paul Giamatti says what every bad guy in every movie ever should say. Which is, say it again. This is.
My God, do we really suck? Or is this guy really that good?
And then. This shows why Clip G, we'll skip a few of these. Clip G.
Fuck you, you fucking fuckers.
You know, it's, I actually, on my way over here, I was stuck in traffic because they have the Oscars.
Yeah.
The Oscars take up a whole fucking city block, and in California, in Los Angeles specifically, if you block off a block on a major street, it just fucks traffic for weeks. And I just drove by and I looked at that goddamn tent and I just shook my head and went,
fuck you, you fucking fuckers.
Although I really,
and there was a baby
really,
in the background laughing?
It was, you know. Every time they cut to the baby, every time they cut to the baby after it's laughing, it's frowning, clearly.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh my God, fuck you, you fucking fuckers. I was on the phone actually with T-Mobile the other day because they wouldn't lower my bill and they said they didn't get my iPhone that I returned because it broke. And I was just like, listen, get me to a manager. And they're like, no, I can help you, sir. And I was like, no, get me to a fucking manager. And he's like, I can help you, sir. And I said to him,
fuck you, you fucking fuckers.
Turns out if you swear at them, they're allowed to hang up. So don't
do
that. I had to go back through the whole thing again.
You know, a friend of mine just had a kid, just had a baby.
Nice.
And him and his
congratulations
wife
to your friend.
Yeah. They just had a baby and they wanted to take it out. They're getting kind of restless. At-home parenting is a new thing. And so they took it to Burlington Coat Factory. And
so
I warned them.
I
said,
you
don't
do
that in the first year. And they did it anyway. So
what
will
people,
like,
learn?
I don't know. But the baby got the flu. And I was just like, you know what?
Fuck you, you fucking fuckers.
And they unfriended you the next
and
day.
And then the baby was like, ha ha, I told you.
Yep.
Yeah, they unfriended
the,
me.
The all right, hand job is a great one, which is after. Which one is hand job? I can't even remember now.
Nothing like a good hand job.
God, I don't even remember where that comes from.
I have
in
it in
movie.
Here somewhere.
Shit. Oh, when he uses, because his hand's fucked up when he uses another guy. Oh, no, it's when he, because the guns are triggered by a
the
thumbprint.
Fingerprint. Yep.
And so That's he it. Uses another guy's thumbprint to fire it, and then he says,
nothing like a good hand job.
I mean, there's so many obvious ways to go with this. So I'm going to skip this one. What else do we have?
What's up, Doc?
Oh, you're a wascally wabbit.
You know, I for a long time I was going to a doctor. It was one of those, like, because I have SAG health insurance, and they just kind of make you go wherever.
Yeah.
And I went to one on a Sunday, and the doctor was clearly drunk, and he was just stumbling around. I was like, I just need my ears flushed out. They're just a little clogged, not to be gross. But he was like, okay. And he started, like, looking at my nose, and I was like, that's not what I'm looking for. I need my ears. And I say,
what's up, Doc?
And then he thinks I'm quoting Bugs Bunny.
You're a Wesley Wabbit.
This is a true story. I got food poisoning from IKEA. This is actually a true story. I went to the ER because mm-hmm. I had lost so many fluids, and they wanted to do a blood test. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in the ER. They started taking blood. It started squirting everywhere, and the nurse comes in, and I go,
"What's up, Doc?"
"Oh, you're a Wesley Wabbit."
And that made me feel really comfortable being in that ER.
Yeah. You know, I want to play the We Suck line again in one moment because
yeah.
Sometimes when I do a bad improv on this show.
Ah, of course.
And say, you do a really great one, or when Makugo is on here, he'd do a really great one. I just drive home, and on the way home, I would think of better improvs on the drive home, and then I just yell at myself.
My God, do we really suck? Or is this guy really that good?
Every time.
Every damn time.
Oh, I think that's a good way to end the show. Sure, why not? We have to anyways, because Cam has to go do another show.
Yes, indeed.
If you don't watch his, you're doing what, The Mysteries of Laura?
Mysteries of Laura on AfterBuzz.
Fantastic show, by the way.
Awesome show.
It's probably the greatest show on television. But we've been talking about Shoot 'Em Up today. Keep your comments coming, because we're starting to check. We want to be way more involved with the fans. This week, we had to kind of rush the show, but I want to start doing a live question and answer portion for about 5 minutes of each show. We're going to start trying that next week. So if you're watching live, get your questions ready. Zach in the booth is going to kind of field them and ask us along the way. You can say what your favorite part of the movie is. We want this to be more interactive. So comment with the movies you want. I know other handle that I can't remember, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. We're going to do that very soon, I promise.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. We got to do that because you've been asking forever, and I need to write down everybody's handle so I don't do really lame shout-outs. People are like, oh, thanks for
thank you, the person.
Thanks for half-shouting me out, asshole. So I'll remember names, too, next week. So comment below. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us some iTunes reviews. That go a long way.
Yeah.
As long as they're good ones. If they're bad, just, you know, keep it to yourself and just yell it in your car like I do.
Yeah.
Cameron, where can they find you?
At The Only Camshaft, Twitter and Instagram. Ben, how about yourself?
At The Ben Begley. And you can also find info about the movie that my wife and I co-wrote and starring called The Funhouse Massacre. It's a horror comedy. It's coming out, I can't say, but very soon. Let's just say it'll be out in the next few months or so.
Okay.
I can't say exactly. But DVD and video on demand info will be out soon at Funhouse Mass and FunhouseMassacreMovie.com. Until next time, I guess that's pretty much it for us. What is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.